Meanwhile, a federal judge recently ruled that FEMA must continue to pay the hotel bills of more than 40,000 New Orleans residents displaced by Katrina. Judge Stanwood R. Duvall Jr. called FEMA's plan to cut off evacuees by early January, quote, numbingly insensitive, end quote. The lawsuit underscores just one of many obstacles facing New Orleans residents as they struggle to return home and begin all over again. Joining us now for more from NPR's Washington, D.C. studios is John Britton, who helped bring the case against FEMA. He is chief counsel and senior deputy with the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. John, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Also joining us is Beverly Wright, founder and director of the Deep South Center for Environmental Justice at Dillard University in New Orleans and a former member of the Army Corps of Engineers Environmental Advisory Board. A New Orleans native who lost her own home in the storm, Wright has been lobbying the federal government to improve its cleanup efforts. She says the thousands of homes destroyed by Katrina cannot be rebuilt, nor can evacuees return until their neighborhoods have been properly decontaminated. Welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
John, let's start here. Let's deal with the housing component of this discussion first, temporary though it is at the moment. The case that you won dealt a rare blow to FEMA, which has long enjoyed a sort of legal immunity under the protection of Congress. Two things. How important a victory was this, and are we going to be right back in this same situation in about 35 days?
First, it was very important for the roughly 45, 50, 60, some say even 100,000 evacuees who were in the hotels back in November and early December because they faced eviction or termination of the Temporary Housing Assistance Program. FEMA provides for evacuees who were displaced due to the destruction of their home temporary housing assistance. We saw that in this catastrophe, first in the form of emergency housing, which often took place in shelters. Many were relocated to places like Houston, Texas, and stayed in the large convention centers. Next came the assistance for temporary housing, and that is either in an indirect form in $2,358 a month or for 3 months, or approximately $790 a month to help evacuees find an apartment. Mm-hmm. Or, in the alternative, FEMA provides mobile homes or trailers. In the case of the hotel evacuees, FEMA wanted to move them out of the shelters, but they couldn't find temporary housing assistance for them yet, so they put them in these hotels.
Right.
They're in the hotels until they can find more long-term housing.
Now, that part of the issue we understand, but I want to know, do you think we will be right back there again come February 7th?
Yes. I believe that we will face a crisis of potential homelessness because many of the persons in these hotels are very poor. They eked out a bare existence in New Orleans and other places along the Gulf Coast before the hurricane came, and they've been unable to replicate that low-income status in the various places they live, such as Los Angeles and in New York and in Houston and Dallas, San Antonio, and hotel evacuees spread throughout the country.
Let's bring Beverly into the situation. You sort of have a double-edged sword issue with regard to this. On one hand, you are in a situation in which you lost your own home, and at the same time, you're very concerned about the environment before people are brought back into New Orleans. Is that right?
That's correct. For the last almost 11 years, we've been working to try to create a cleaner environment for people who live along the Mississippi River Chemical Corridor, and that includes the city of New Orleans. And so Katrina just compounded our existing problems by taking a lot of the poisons that already existed in Superfund sites and brownfield sites and sort of spread it around all over the city. The good news is that the contamination turns out not to be as bad as everyone expected it to be. So the city of New Orleans is not a Superfund site. It would, however, be considered, more in my opinion, a brownfield site in the sense that what's there is not good, but it can be cleaned up. And that's good news for the citizens.
Well, let me ask.
Bad news is that the federal government doesn't seem to have its act together on when and how it's going to assist us in cleaning up our neighborhoods.
Let's talk about that, John Britton. How How do you prioritize these issues in terms, on one hand, the immediate problem seems to be to find housing on a day-to-day basis for the people who were displaced. But what about Beverly's argument that it wouldn't be right to bring them into an environment that is not healthy for them?
You're quite correct. The evacuees, though, have a choice of finding more long-term housing wherever they're living, outside the Gulf Coast region, or coming back into the Gulf Coast region from Mississippi down into New Orleans and St. Bernard Parish and living there. So you have dual goals of helping people find temporary housing wherever they are and finding housing back in the New Orleans area. And I share Beverly and her organization's concern about environmental cleanliness.
Beverly, there have been some articles written. In fact, there's one today in the Washington Post talking about a white family and a black family moving back into their respective New Orleans neighborhoods. As you know, race is a fact of life in describing neighborhoods across America. But in New Orleans in particular right now, is there a new racial reality forming in the neighborhoods that are trying to rebuild?
Oh, there's absolutely a racial reality. The reality is that white neighborhoods are being repopulated and they are better able to return home because of their economic conditions and the fact that their neighborhoods, for the most part, were not as impacted by Katrina as our neighborhoods were. New Orleans is a very segregated city, and that segregation has absolutely nothing to do with the preference of black people wanting to live in segregated neighborhoods. It's just that as we move out, integrating neighborhoods, looking for better houses, white people continue to leave, and we're not chasing behind them anymore. So our neighborhoods, for some reason, if they're all black, are considered inferior, which I think is not a good description of where I lived or where my city is. So the racial factor is there, and because of that, our center, along with other organizations, have been working together to train people how to clean up their own houses, along with the United Steelworkers, who have been giving free equipment and classes in the Baton Rouge area. We're getting ready to start doing it in Houston, Texas, in New Orleans, in Atlanta, Georgia, Birmingham, and a few other cities. People will know how to go back into their homes, and we're moving straight away at dealing with the sediments on coming up with a cleanup plan for neighborhoods to clean up the sediments that have contamination in them, like mercury and arsenic.
All right, our time. I have to cut you off. I apologize, but our time is just running too low. John Britton is the chief counsel and senior deputy with the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law. Beverly Wright, founder and director of the Deep South Center for Environmental Justice at Dillard University in New Orleans. Also, she is a former member of the Army Corps of Engineers Environmental Advisory Board. Thank you both.
Thank you.